On today's podcast, you'll learn more linking words so as to take your English to the next level.
Welcome to Aprender Inglés with Reza and Craig. Hello, my name's Craig.
And my name's Reza.
And we're going to use our 45 years of teaching experience to raise your level of grammar, vocabulary, and pronunciation. How are you, Reza?
I'm doing very well. And yourself, Craig?
I'm feeling great. It's been a great week, a wonderful week, and ready to dive in to start this week's podcast. But first, we have a message from Gabby from Peru, who appeared in a play and went outside her comfort zone. Here's Gabby.
Hello, Craig and Reza. Well, here in Peru, it's 7 o'clock in the night. It's September 24th. Well, I'm very, very excited to tell you about yesterday's night. It was my play release, the premiere. Is it okay to say so? Well, I didn't tell you, but I have been rehearsing for a play during 7 months. It's a play which was written by a Spanish writer whose name is Alejandro Casona, and the play is La Barca sin Pescador in Spanish, and in English I think it's The Boat with No Fisherman. Have you heard of it? Well, yesterday I had to perform a scene in which I had to cry. And let me tell you that it's been hard for me because somehow I didn't want people to see me crying, to see me vulnerable. But in the end I did it, and it's because of all this great energy flowing around the audience. It was a success. Guys, why don't you talk about theater? It would be nice, eh? Well, see you soon.
Oh, thank you very much, Gabby, for your voice message. It's a wonderful thing to go outside your comfort zone and do something that makes you a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. I think we really learn from these experiences, and I'm pleased that you found it useful. Any comments, Reza?
Yes, Gabby, it's always nice to hear from you. You're full of surprises. From flute playing from your mum to theatre plays, you seem to lead a very interesting life. I'm jealous.
Cruising to Barcelona,
even though you just looked out the porthole, but still you were there. Wow, sounds great. Forgive us if we just are a bit of agua fiestas, party poopers, and point out a couple of tiny little mistakes you made, although your pronunciation was fantastic and we understood everything you were saying.
Yeah.
But, Craig, she did say a couple of things which we could correct.
Yeah, I think she said yesterday night, which is quite a common mistake for Spanish speakers. It's better to say last night. So not yesterday night, but last night.
And also
but that's weird, isn't it? Because we say yesterday morning.
Yeah, we do.
And yesterday afternoon, but not yesterday night. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's not common to say it, is it?
Yep, so it's last night.
Also, you said in the night, as it's not really normal. It's more typical to say at night. And again, that's weird because we say in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, but at night.
So it would be 7 at night. Yeah, the play was at 7 at night. And the first showing of a theatre production, as you correctly said, is the premiere. So we've stolen the French word there, premiere, for estreno.
Also, I can't remember the sentence exactly now, but you said that you were doing something during 7 months. That's not right. It should be for 7 months. Not during. During is for a period, but it's like unmeasured, like during the war or during my childhood or during the summer. But if you're going to say 7 months or a day or a year or 50 years, then it's for a year, for a long time, for 20 centuries, for 7 months.
A wonderful idea, Gabby. We'll definitely be speaking about theatre vocabulary and going to the theatre in a future podcast, and I'll share with you a nightmare that I a reoccurring nightmare that I have about the theatre. If something's reoccurring, then it occurs many times. It frequently occurs. So I have a reoccurring nightmare, pesadilla, concerning the theatre. So we'll speak about that very soon.
Craig, we have another voice message from another regular listener, Francisco from Úbeda, who has some very good news.
We love getting good news, so let's listen to Francisco.
Hi, friends. Hi, listeners. I'm here to tell you that I've recently got the Cambridge CAE, so yes, now I am a C1 guy. It's another string to my bow. Well, by listening your podcast, I've got the inspiration, the motivation and the determination to study English seriously, because right now I am recycling myself to become more employable. So this is it. I don't want to sound pretentious, but I feel proud of myself. Why not? 2 years ago, I didn't have any English qualification, so I did it from scratch. As you know, there are plenty of resources on the internet to learn English, but definitely you're on the top, yes. I wanted to share it with the listeners, just to say that everything is possible if you work hard, and the two of you are the perfect support to make it less difficult. So thank you again. I keep on listening to you, despite the fact that I will leave English for a while, just to refresh my mind, or why not, to start with French or German, I don't know. That's the drawback of becoming an alcoholic. Okay, that's all for now. A big hug for you. Bye.
Thank you very much, Francisco. It's wonderful to hear that you're now a C1 guy. Congratulations.
And to think that we have helped you get there, that's what we really love. That's what Craig and I like more than anything, knowing that people have got a qualification or got a job partly because of listening to our podcast.
Yeah, it really means a lot to us. So thank you, Francisco, for letting us know that we've helped you in some way. If anybody else is listening, we love to hear these things and get this good news. So please let us know. If you've recently got a job because of your English, if you've passed an exam because of your English, anything, and we'll put it in the podcast. And I really liked Francisco's expression, it's another string to my bow, which is quite common, isn't it? It's another advantage, it's another thing you have which will help you in the future. So having this C1 qualification is another string to Francisco's bow.
And you also used a very nice expression. You said you did it from scratch. So 2 years ago, not long ago, Francisco says he started English from scratch. That means he didn't have any before. And in 2 years from scratch, he got up to C1 level. Wow. So if you do something from scratch, it means from zero.
Yep. And it comes, I didn't know, I checked online, I didn't know this, but the expression to do something from scratch or to start from scratch is from when people used to race, hace carreras, and they used to draw a line or scratch, rascar, a line on the ground to start from. So that's the line where you start the race. Did you know that?
No, wow.
I never thought of that. So to start from scratch means to start from the line that's drawn on the ground before a race.
So well done, Francisco, for using those expressions, and well done passing the C1.
Yep. Another expression I really liked was, I'm psyching myself to become more employable. The expression to psych yourself up, that's P-S-Y-C-H, means to prepare yourself to be mentally ready and confident to do something, particularly before a game of football, for example, or a boxing match or some challenge or sporting event. You psych yourself up, you prepare and get ready for something. So Francisco's doing that to become more employable, a person who is easier to employ, that companies are looking for to employ.
We have one more voice message, It's from Argentina. It comes from Marcos Forgiarini. And he comments on the episode that we did not long ago, episode 175 on British music legends. Here is Marcos' comment.
Hey Reza, hey Craig. This is Marcos from Argentina. Today I want to comment on the last episode. Well, my favorite British music legend are the Beatles, of course, Rolling Stone, and Led Zeppelin. In fact, my current ringtone is this.
Thank you very much for your message, Marcos. We had to stop the message in the middle because unfortunately we can't play any music that has copyright in the podcast. So as much as we both love Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song, I had to stop it just as the song started. One thing you did say that I'd like to correct, Marcos, you said I like very much. Remember, you need the object. So you need, for example, the pronoun it. I like it very much, or I like the song very much, or I like Led Zeppelin very much. So remember that word order in English, subject, verb, object. I like it very much.
Yes, also you said that you listen to Celtic punk bands. Well, we understand, but we wouldn't pronounce it. We would say Celtic punk bands. It's a funny word, that, C-E-L-T-I-C. Usually it's pronounced Celtic. It's a K sound. But sometimes it's pronounced S when it refers to sports teams for some reason. Glasgow Celtic Football Club. So they're pronounced, and there's also, I think it's the Boston Celtics is a basketball team in America.
Boston Celtics, yeah.
And maybe one or two other something Celtics in America. So when it's for sport, we pronounce it Celtic usually, but the normal pronunciation of that word is with a K, Celtic.
And when we talked about Old English and we talked about the Vikings and the Celts, we spoke about the Celts, didn't we? But I didn't know what Celtic punk was, really. I had an idea, so I went to check the Rumjacks that Marcos mentioned and Dropkick Murphys. And yeah, it's a kind of mix between punk rock and Celtic folk. And of course, the Pogues, who I do know, who I like very much, I suppose you would class the Pogues as Celtic punk, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I like the Pogues myself. And also, Marcos, I love Led Zeppelin. Okay, moving on, Craig. Let's get down to business. What have we got?
We've got some more linking expressions. And this idea comes from really my students in my FCE class who have been having problems with particular linking expressions. Now, we have spoken about this before, back in episode 55. So you can go there, englespodcast.com/55. And we spoke specifically about the words but, even though, however, although, in spite of, despite, on the one hand, and on the other hand. So we won't repeat what we've already spoken about before. And we'll look at some different ones this week. All of these expressions are linking expressions to join clauses together.
Well, let's start off with the expression as long as, or so long as. For example, as long as you're over 18, you can buy alcoholic drinks. Or so long as you're over 18, you can buy alcoholic drinks. So that means it's a condition. Perhaps it's a law or a rule. So in most countries, you have to be 18 to be able to buy alcoholic drinks. So long as long as, for a condition.
So then what would be the difference? Because there's an expression as well as. So what's the difference between as long as and as well as?
As well as is to say in addition. Right? So as well as beer, I like cider. So I'm talking about not one, but two alcoholic drinks. Or I play hockey as well as football.
So it's like Adamaste. As well as coffee, I also drink tea.
Exactly, to add something, to show addition.
Mm-hmm. And as long as?
A condition. Condition.
So siempre y cuando.
Siempre y cuando. Or mientras que, maybe as well.
So, for example, I could say, I'm happy as long as the sun is shining.
Exactly.
Or as long as you agree, we'll continue with the next expression.
Okay, I do agree. Compare these two sentences. Andrew went to the party as well as Patrick. Here's the other sentence. Patrick went to the party and Andrew as well. In both sentences, I used as well. But in the first, I added as well as. So when you're going to continue the sentence, you need the word as. Andrew went to the party as well as Patrick. But if you put it at the end of the sentence, you just finish with the word well. Patrick went to the party and Andrew as well, full stop.
So with my example with tea and coffee, I could say I drink tea as well as coffee, or I drink tea and I drink coffee as well.
Exactly. That's it.
Okay, with in case. Now, in case means in Spanish por si, and you use it in the meaning of as a precaution. Now, don't confuse it with if. Let me give you two examples. Imagine you're going on holiday and we're going to a hotel, but we don't know if there's a swimming pool at the hotel. So think of these two examples. The first one, let's take our swimming costumes or our swimming shorts in case there's a pool at the hotel. So we don't know if there's a pool there, but we will be prepared with our swimming shorts. The second example with if, let's take our swimming costumes if there's a pool in the hotel. This means we will wait until we know about the pool before we decide to take our swimming costumes. So there's a slight difference there between the use of if and in case.
So for me, kind of the way of looking at in case for me is to be prepared. You do things, if you do things in case, blah, 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 it's to be prepared because something might or might not happen. But if you do something in case, you're prepared that it might happen.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if, simply if, is a conditional sentence.
Yep.
If I win the lottery, I'll spend the money. It's a conditional. But for me, in case is about being prepared for something that may or may not happen.
So in Spanish, in case, por si. But there is a difference, isn't there, Reza, between in case and in the case? What's the difference?
Yes, that word the, which causes so many problems for foreigners, in the case is not the same as in case, because in the case means to consider a particular case. It doesn't mean por si, no. For example, the UK is a kingdom with a prime minister, but the monarch, that's the queen, is the head of state. Whereas in the case of the USA, the president is the head of state. I said in the case of the USA, I must add the word the in the case. I'm comparing the particular cases of the UK and the USA, different cases.
Is that the same in Spanish? Would it be en el caso?
Yes. En el caso de Estados Unidos. Yeah. Which is not the same as por si, obviously.
So it's a direct translation to Spanish. In the case, por el caso, or en el caso.
Exactly. Whereas in case, no the is por si.
Mm-hmm. So our next linking expression is so as to. So as to. Which really means in order to, para, or con el ejemplo de. Let me give you an example. Reza left early today so as not to be late. That's true. You arrived right on time today.
I did.
On the dot, en el punto, on the dot, you arrived at 10:30. Very impressed. So he left early so as not to be late. So here I'm using the negative and putting the not before to. so as not to be late. I can also say, in order not to be late. Another example, I tested the microphone before Razor arrived, so as to save time during the recording, or in order to save time during the recording. So there you have so as to, which really means in order to.
Or even just to, in fact.
Yeah.
You could just say, I tested the microphone before Reza arrived to save time during the recording. So mm-hmm. in order to, or to even have the same meaning. In order to is a little bit more formal than just to.
So that's the infinitive of purpose.
Exactly.
I took a chair to sit down, or I picked up my pen to write a letter.
Okay. So far, so good, listeners. Now, we have to confuse you a little bit. Sorry, but it's for your own good. You can also say so as or so that, but without to. Let me give you an example sentence and see if you get it that way. The brave soldiers sacrificed their lives so that or so as the rest of us could survive after their death. I repeat that. There's no to this time. The brave soldiers sacrificed their lives so that, so as, the rest of us could survive after their death. Now there, we could divide that sentence into two parts. In the first part, we talk about the brave soldiers. They're the subject. And in the second part, the rest of us could survive. So they're two different subjects. When that's the case, you cannot use an infinitive. Mm-hmm. You cannot say so as to. You have to say so as or so that plus a subject and verb. In other words, a clause. A clause is when you have a subject and verb. In this case, I said so as the rest of us could survive. I cannot say so as the rest of us to. No, I can't use to. Can you see the difference? I'll tell you another one. Reza left early so that or so as he wasn't late.
So here you have the same subject.
Right.
You, Reza, he.
Exactly. But this time I decided that I would use so as or so that. But here I could use an infinitive if I wanted precisely because of the same subject. Reza left early so as or in order not to be late. It's mm-hmm. possible there to use an infinitive because Reza and he, they're the same subject. So I have a choice. So whenever the two subjects in the two parts of the sentence are different, you have to say so as or so that without to. But if the two subjects are the same in the two parts of the sentence, then you can use to, so as to or in order to.
If all of this is confusing you just a little, firstly, we apologize. It is quite complicated grammar. Secondly, you can read the show notes, which will help you with these examples and the explanation. And you can find the show notes at englishpodcast.com/179. Reza, let's look at one more, I think. Owing to, which means due to or because of. In Spanish, debido a. Let me give you an example. Today's lesson has been cancelled owing to lack of interest. Or you could say, today's lesson has been cancelled due to lack of interest. Can you think of another example?
Yes, another typical example you might hear if you're travelling. The flight was cancelled due to or because of the bad weather. So due to, owing to, because of, they all mean the same. Debido.
So that's all we have for you this week. We hope you have enjoyed the podcast. And if you want to practice your English, remember, you can send us a voice message and you can do that on SpeakPipe. That's SpeakPipe.com. Go to SpeakPipe.com/English podcast and send us your voice message of 90 seconds or less.
Or if you want, you could send us an email with a comment or question. You could write to Craig@englishpodcast.com.
Or you could send an email to Reza. His address is belfastreza@gmail.com. If you would like more detailed show notes, as always, go to our Patreon page, which is at patreon.com/englishpodcast. And as usual, we'd like to thank our lovely sponsors who are Pedro Manuel García Betagón, Maite Sara Carlos Zarahiz Picazo, Lorena Lara Alem Mamen, Juan Leiva Guerrera, Corey Finneran, Mariel, Jorge, Raúl, Rafael, María, Manuel, Agus, Paulucci, o Paulucci, Néstor García Máñez, at NestorGM.com, his wonderful podcast called Luces Extrañas about astronomy. There's Juan Carlos, Rafa Banzels, Beatriz Sánchez, José Luis Aragui, I apologize for my bad pronunciation, Miren Full. Thank you very much, all of you, for sponsoring our show.
And don't forget very soon that we'll be making all of the recent episodes of the podcast available, fully transcribed. We're working on it.
That's the recent episodes. So we'll be transcribing the recent ones, not all of them from the very beginning. But we do have some of those transcribed already, thanks to Arminda, Alberto, and Angelica. And those episodes that you can follow word by word are episodes 131 to 142 and episodes 1 to 7.
Craig, what have we got on next week's episode?
Well, I'm very excited because next week we have a special guest. We'll be speaking about word stress and pronunciation with our colleague Wayne. So really looking forward to having him on the podcast. You'll have three qualified English teachers to help you next week with your pronunciation. Until then, it's goodbye from Reza.
And goodbye from Craig.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.
That's okay. Can we turn that light off? Do you mind? Because it's not doing anything. You could see all right, can't you? Yeah.
I can't see, but that's not because of the light. That's because I need glasses.
Well, hold on. If you need that light on, put it on.
No, it's not because of the light.
I just thought I wasn't really doing anything.
I'm just going blind, mate. It's my age. Blind as a bat.